So we're on Daf Yutesamid Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Ein Solin Basar Batzel Ubeitza. We don't allow you to Erev Shabbos roast meat or onions or eggs. El Kadeshi Solu Mibod Yom, unless the Tzliya, the actual roasting, will take place before Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to have the Gemara is going to have a long discussion about what does it mean Elikideshi Tzolu Mibodjom, and we're going to talk about a concept in Mitzvah Shem called Michael Benjosod. That's we'll get to it. Then the Mishnah continues and speaks about Paspitanur. So we're talking about putting a dough in the oven to bake the dough, make bread on Erev Shabbos, and it's close to Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do that. V'lo charora al gabi gecholim. There was something called a charora. They used to make a certain kind of cookie that they would barbecue, and we're not allowed to put it there. Mibodjom, ella, unless, kadeshi yikrimu paneo mibodjom, unless the time period between when you're putting it into the oven or on the coals until Shabbos is enough time to create what's called krimas paneo, which means a certain crust on top. And the Gemara is going to have two opinions exactly where this crust is. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kadeshi yikrom hatachton shalah. It means you have to have sufficient time for the bottom part of the crust, the bottom part of the dough, to become crusty before Shabbos starts. And once again, the Gemara is going to address what exactly that means. Mishalshlin es ha-pesach betanur im chashecha. Okay, I'm going to move back. Mishalshlin es ha-pesach betanur im chashecha. And we put the Korban Pesach into the... Hold on.
Okay, I'm going to hang up on you.
Yeah. We put the Korban Pesach over the fire into the oven right before Shabbos. And here the Mishnah doesn't have any stipulations, any kind of limitations. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, we're very lenient. We have another leniency mentioned here in the Mishnah. Umachizen es ha'or b'meduras beis hamoked, in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a special area which was designated to keep the fire going so the Kohanim would keep warm because they were barefoot during their avoda. And we just have to ignite this fire before Shabbos, even close to Shabbos itself. And we have no conditions and no stipulations necessary. And here we're starting our daf for today, which is daf Chaf Omid Aleph. Ubigvulin, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, Kidei Shetechos Ha'ur Berubo. We need that he light the fire in such a way before Shabbos that most of the wood in the fire would catch and go up in fire. The fire would be burning the wood. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas, exactly what that means, whether it's the inside of the wood or the outside of the wood, and all that has to happen before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'pchamim kol shehu. In the case of pchamim, which are charcoals, then as soon as you light the fire and the charcoals ignite, that's already sufficient. Now the Gemara asks for kama. What does it mean that you have to have, in the case of beitza and basa, you have to have tzliya, kideshi yatzulu mibojom, that it be roasted before Shabbos? What does that mean? What's the shear of roasting? How long before Shabbos do you have to turn on the fire? Omra b'loza marav kideshi yatzulu mibojom kemaychel ben josoy. These are the robbers that would eat food on the run. They didn't have time for the food to completely cook. There's a major machlokas rishonim. How much of cooking is considered kemaychel ben josoy? Whether it's a shlish, a third of the bishul, or maybe it's half of the bishul. And once that process of bishul has reached the state of kemaychel ben josoy, then if you would cook it beyond Kemaychel ben Josoi, according to most Rishonim, not the Rambam Shita, but you would not be chayv from Meleches Bishul. So basically, once you clinched the Bishul before Shabbos, Kemaychel ben Josoi, and the similar thing would apply to Tzliya, to roasting, then you're allowed to do so, you're allowed to keep the fire going. And that means that even in the worst case scenario, if we're afraid that maybe you'll poke the flames in order to speed up the fire, but you've already gotten the food cooked before Shabbos, so you would not be in violation of a malach of Bishul on Shabbos, even if Chas v'Sholem you would poke the flames. Itmar Nami, we also learned, Omer Av Asi, Omer Av Yochanan, Kol Shu Kemaychel Ben Josoi, the food was cooked to that point, Ein Bo Mishum Bishul Nochrim, if a guy would take the food that is cooking, and he would bring it from the state of Kemaychel Ben Josoi, which was brought to by the Jew, and cook it further, that would not constitute Bishul Akum. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Hananya Omer, Kol Shu Kemaychel Ben Josoi, Mutal HaShosal Gabi Kira. You're allowed to put food on an open fire on Shabbos if the food is, right? I mean, before Shabbos, if the food has already reached Kemaychel Ben Josoi before Shabbos, you're allowed to keep the food on this open fire over Shabbos. Afal pi sheina grufa uktuma. So at the beginning of Perek Kira, the third perek, we're going to learn about a grufa and a ktuma. What they used to do is they had an oven, and they used to do grufa, which means they would sweep out all the embers, all the coals that were left inside the oven. And ktuma would be another option, which would obviate the need for a grufa. Instead of shoveling out the coals that are left inside this little oven, you would do what's called ktuma. You would take certain ashes or afar, and you would sprinkle it on top of the coals. And these were all ways of keeping a person aware of the fact that it's Shabbos, and he shouldn't violate any sort of iser of Shem Yichata B'Gecholim. And all those requirements would apply in a case of uncooked food that was left on an open fire. You would have to do grufa or ketuma. But here we're talking about food that already was cooked to the point of Kemaychel Ben Josoi. Now we want to know, what is krimas pas betano? A nostinus a pas. We don't allow you to put a dough into the oven unless that surface level of krima means a crust, is already formed, because that's the shear of afia. That means it's already been baked. Iboilu, the Gemara says, when Rabbi Loza points out that it's the tachton that has to reach the lower surface of the dough, has to reach this point of a crust, what does that mean? Tachton heich de gabi tanur. So they would take the dough and they would put it into the tanur. We have people who still do this today, and they smack it up against the very hot walls of the oven, inside the oven, and the tachton now is the part of the dough that comes directly into contact with the side of the oven, the wall of the oven. That's called the tachton, and that would be intuitively our interpretation. Dilma, perhaps Tachton heich de gabi or. Tachton means the lower part that is closer to the fire, which is the face of the dough. Because if the dough is flat against the wall and the fire is below, then the tachton becomes the lower part of this dough. And that's the part of the dough that faces the fire. So it's really, in effect, the outside, as opposed to the first interpretation, which is the inside. Toshma, the Gemara concludes, is based on a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kidei Sheyikremu Panel Hamidubakim V'Tanur. All we need is that the surface that is clinging to the inside of the oven shows its crust. That's the first interpretation that we had of tachton, is hech degavi tanur. Once that reaches krimas pas, then the afia has been achieved, and you're allowed to put this dough into the oven to bake your bread on Erev Shabbos, as long as there's enough time for the flat surface that's stuck up, the bottom of the dough that's attached to the walls of the oven has come to a crust, and that's a very short amount of period of time. Mishalshin is a Pesach Maitaima. Why are we allowed to put the lamb into the oven on Erev Pesach, right before nightfall, why don't we have the same strictures that we had with regard to roasting meat at the beginning of this Mishnah? We're not concerned about the fact that he might poke the coals. That's called Chitui B'Gecholim. And the Gemara answers, Mishum T'Bnei Chabura Zrizenhem. And here, Rashi and other Rishonim seem to indicate there's a combination of two different factors. Number one, there's a chabura. Chabura means a whole group of people, and one person will remind the other not to poke the coals. And secondly, zrizim, those who are involved in preparing and roasting the Korban Pesach are zrizim. They are meticulous Torah observant Jews, and in that case, we're not afraid that they might come to Chitui Gecholim. What would be if we had one of the two elements and not the other? That perhaps we're going to answer that question when we get to the case of the Beis HaMikdash that we mentioned before. Halav hachi lo. The Gemara asks, what about a statement that we learned earlier, that if you have the meat of a goat, then bein shark, bein lo shark, whether or not he plastered down the oven, Shabbatum, he's allowed to put the goat's meat into the oven on Erev Shabbos. We're not afraid that he'll open the doors of the oven. And the Gemara explained the reason why we're not afraid that he'll open the door of the oven and start poking the flame is because with regard to the flesh of a goat, the cold air that comes into the oven when you open it is very detrimental to the goat's meat. Why don't we apply that here in the case of Korban Pesach, which also is a goat's meat? Right, the Zaban Abba Bitrei Zuze. So Gemara answers, Hosam Mintach. The case that we allow you to put goat's meat is when obviously you put only certain organs, certain parts of the meat, and it's cut into pieces. That's called Mintach. And we would not be afraid because the cold air will be detrimental. Hacha, but here, in the case of Korban Pesach lo mintach, the halacha is that you have to put the lamb with a spit inside the oven, a rotary, and there's no cutting it up into pieces, and in such a case, the meat is whole, and it's impervious, it is protected against the cold air. And therefore, we would have to be We would have to be afraid that maybe it'll come to Chitui, but the answer is that we're not afraid because there's B'nei Chabura Zrizimheim. If not for B'nei Chabura Zrizimheim, even though it's goat's meat, we would be afraid of Chitui, that he would poke the flames. Why? Because it's a whole goat. And there's no detrimental effect if he opens up the oven. Umachizin es ha'or. When we light in the Beis HaMikdash that special fire that kept going, and we're doing so on Erev Shabbos, right before nightfall, how is it that we're allowed to do so? And the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk to prove this. And we'll soon see that that pasuk goes a little bit too far if we interpret it the way the Gemara is going to interpret it. Machizin es ha'or minon imili. How do we know this? Omar Rav Huna lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem. Moshvoseichem means your dwelling places. And why did the Torah say that you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos in your dwelling places? And that's going to be a mute, an exclusion for the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol moshvoseichem i'atom mavir. In your dwelling places, you're not allowed to light a fire. Aval atom mavir b'meduras beis hamoked. What's the opposite, the flip side of moshvoseichem, a place where we don't dwell? That is the Beis HaMikdash in this special bias, a special, perhaps, area that was designated the Beis HaMikdash, where they kept the fire going. So wait a second. Now the Gemara says you got to take this too far. Maskev le'Rav Chisda. If that's what the pasuk is coming to be, memayit the hachi afilu b'shabbos nami. Then why don't we derive the conclusion that this violation of lo sevaru eish of lighting a fire doesn't apply, which is on Shabbos, doesn't apply in the case of the Beis HaMikdash. Elom Rav Chisda. We have to reinterpret the pasuk krakiyos, and this pasuk is coming with mishrei evarim upidarim hudiyasa. This is coming to teach me that those parts of the animal that of the karban, which were not burnt during the day, let's say in this case on Friday, they continue on the Mizbeach, and they will be burnt even on Shabbos. However, to light a fire in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, that for sure is prohibited. So then now we get back to the question of that special area, the Beis HaMikdash, where they kept the Beis HaMoked going. Why are we going to allow it? We're no longer using this pasuk to permit keeping that fire going. So the answer is Kohanim's Rizim Haim, because the Kohanim are very meticulous, they're scholars, Rashi says, and they're very conscientious, and they're very careful, and they won't come to poke the fire, to stir the coals. Now again, we can ask the following question. In the case of the Korban Pesach, we said B'nai Chabura's Rizim. Now we're saying Kohanim's Rizim. In the B'nai Chabura, they're all involved in the process of roasting the Korban Pesach. Here, each Kohen, when he wants to warm up his feet, he goes into the Beis HaMoked to do so. So I don't know if there's that same Chabura element. And it seems from this Gemara that only one element is necessary, and that is Zrizim Haim. Now, we have to point out here one lumdish point, just in passing, and that is that in general we have a principle called lo plug. We don't make distinctions. If you remember, there were those like Rabbi Shmuel who thought he could read Liara Ner, and it turned out he was Mata the Ner. We don't make distinctions. But what we're saying here is that in the original Gzera, when the Rabbanan said not to light a fire, or keep a fire on in the ovens and so forth and so on, they excluded those groups a priori up front that were Zrizim. They weren't included in the original Gzera. Ubigvulin, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, if you light a fire, a bonfire, some sort of a fireplace, then Kadesh Techos Berov. You have to make sure that most of the wood catches fire before Shabbos, so you won't be trying to poke around the flame so that other parts of the wood will catch. My Ruban, and the Gemara has a machlokas here, what does it mean Ruban? Most of them, the majority of them. Amar Rav, according to Rav Shita, and this is a big chumrah, Rov kol echad v'echad, every single piece of log that you put, or wood that you put into this bonfire, has to be on fire before Shabbos. Ushmuel Omer, that's not so. All you need before Shabbos is Kadesh Lo Yomru, that you have enough logs in the bonfire so they don't have to declare Have Eitz and bring more wood, V'naniach Tachteim, and we'll put it underneath the firewood. In other words, that we'll have to strengthen this bonfire. According to Shmuel, once we have enough wood to keep this going, and we don't need any extra wood, that's enough to allow it before Shabbos. Tony Rab Chiel, a Siyuah de Shmuel, a Brisa that comes to support Shmuel, Kidei Shetei Shal Heves Ola Me'eleha. All you need is that the flame starts rising on its own. And it means that you don't need additional cavalry of more wood in order to get the fire to go up. And that reflects the sheet of Shmuel. But now we have another machlokes between Rav and Amri Leh. We don't know who the Amri Leh is, but we'll see. Rav says, Eitz Yechidi. What happens in a case where all you have is one log? That's your entire repertoire of wood. How do you apply the principle of Rov here in this case? And Rav has a Gevaldige Chumra here. Rov Avyo, which means that the inside of this piece of wood has to be burning. The Amri Leh, but the second view, this is the more Makil view, Berov Hakefa, as long as you see the fire wrapped around the log on the outside, that's sufficient. You don't have to wait until the inside of the wood catches fire. Amar Rav Papa Hilkoch Be'inon Rov Avyo Be'inon Rov Hakefa. Rav Papa says, let's take both Shi'urim L'chumra, and we're only going to allow you to get this fire going on Erev Shabbos if most of the outside of the log is burning. in a circular way, and the inside of the log is burning. That takes quite a while. And here there's a long discussion in the Rishonim, why do we take the Chumrah here? The whole thing is only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and why do we double up both Shitos L'Chumrah? In any event, Kitanoi, the Gemara says that this question about how to define Rov in the case of Eitz Yechidi of one piece of wood is in fact a machlokis and a brisa. Rabbi Chiya Omer Kidei Sheishaches HaEitz Mimeleches HaUman. That means that this piece of wood is completely consumed, so to speak. It's no longer functional in any way of shape or form. You know, the artisans used to use piece of wood, but now the wood itself inside is burnt. You know, if it's only on the outside, you may be able to clean it up. No. We need what we said in the name of Rav, Rov Avyo. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, no. We don't need it to be burning that much, but rather Kadesh Toches or Ace Mishnat Stodim, that it catches fire on the outside from both sides. In other words, the fire wraps around the piece of wood. The Afal Bishain Raya Lidovar, Zech Lidovar, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira quotes a Pasuk in order to bring support for his Shita. And this Pasuk in Tanakh really has to be understood. It's not a simple pasuk. Let's see if we can get a pshat in this pasuk. Just 1 second. Okay, I'm a little bit confused here, but I think it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. If somebody could check me out on that, I would appreciate it. And the pasuk reads the following. Oh, Yecheskel HaNavi. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And it says in the pasuk, Eshnek tzosav achlo ha'esh v'socho nachar hayitzlach limalacha. In other words, at the point in which you have a fire that goes, I could say eshnek tzosav v'tocho. In other words, the fire has already entered into the wood itself, to the point in which you could ask the question, it's a rhetorical question, Yitzlach l'malacha, can you possibly use this? Now, this is all a mashal of the Navi about the Anshei Yerushalayim, very strong castigation, and they're like a kerem, which cannot produce anovim, and he compares them to the outside or the inside of this branch of the vine, and it becomes so burnt inside that it's no longer fit for any kind of malacha. But in any event, it seems that this pasuk indicates that. Okay, so here we have machlokas between Rashi and the Marsha. Let me just see. I don't want to get sidetracked on this. The question is, which shita is the Gemara proving here? I my impression is that it's proving the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, which means that all you need is for the fire to go on the outside. But then I get stuck with the words v'tocho nachar. But in any event, let's just leave out v'tocho nachar. If we have time, we'll come back to that. But the pasuk seems to indicate that the outside of the vine that's called shteik tzosav went up in smoke or caught fire, and that's considered enough to make it unusable. It's not fit for work, and that's enough. Now the Gemara quotes another pasuk. And this pasuk is from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, I believe. To check me out on this, v'es ha'ach lifnei mivo eres. Now, what does the word ach mean? That's a very cryptic word in Tanakh. And here too, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is dealing with the Melech b'Yisrael, and there was a burning of the Torah scroll. And the reason why this Torah scroll was burnt is because the Melech B'Yisrael did not want to accept the terrible Nevuah of Yirmiyahu about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They refused to acknowledge that nevuah and accept it, and therefore they put this scroll that was written by Yirmiyahu to the torch. My ach, what does the word ach mean? So here we have two opinions. Omar Rav, ach vana. Okay, I don't know what the word ach vana means, but the Gemara is going to say later on that this is an arava. Arava in Aramaic is called ach vana, so it's a willow branch. And apparently a willow branch goes up in smoke very quickly. Rav Shmuel Omar, etzim shenidliku biach vana. He has another interpretation of the word achvana. Achvana miloshen achva. Achva means when you have little pieces of wood, each one feeds the other one. And that creates a certain unity. So Ahudi Omar, according to that opinion that says that man boy achvana. The Gemara says that there was a certain person who went out to the marketplace and he made a declaration, my boy achvana, who needs achvana? I'm selling achvana. And when they came to buy from him, ishtaka, they found arvasa. They found that he was selling arvas. How do you say arvas in English?
Willows.
Rav Huna says, kanim ein tzrichim rov. Kanim are very flammable. These are, you know, if you go to the marshlands, you'll see those reeds that grow. Very often we go there to cut down lulavim or to cut down schach, and they're extremely flammable. And therefore you don't need rov. Rov, which means that the wood has to really catch fire in a very serious way, that applies to something that's not so flammable. You know, until you get the wood up in smoke, takes a while. But in the case of kanim, these reeds, then as soon as you light them, you can just, you know, drop out, and you know that they'll go up in fire. A gadon, however, if you take a bunch of these reeds, and you tie them up into a bundle, is then tzrichim rov. Then we go back to the original halacha that you can only do this on Erev Shabbos if most of the wood is on fire. Because since there's a large bundle of these reeds, then it takes a while for the flame to catch, and you might be tempted to speed up that process. Garinim. Again, we once discussed this, and this has become relevant at the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos, that the pits inside dates and so forth are very flammable, and they're used as fuel. It's ein tzrichim rov. Once again, they go up in fire very quickly. The son of Bechalsos, but if you gather them together in baskets, so you're talking about mass volumes of these pits, then tzrichim rov. Then once again, you need that most of them catch fire. And now we're going to have what's called punkfaker. This is a Yiddish phrase. Maskiflora of Papa Adarava. On the contrary, Ipcha Mistabra. The exact opposite is really true. Why? Because Kanim Mibadran. Mibadran means they spread out. In Yiddish we call it Tzavarfin. They scatter around. And therefore it's very difficult for the fire to catch. You have to be more careful about these Kanim, these reeds. But if you tie them together, lo mibadron, they don't scatter around. And therefore, you don't have to rely on rov. You know that the fire will catch, and you can be very secure about that. You won't come to stimulate the fire. Garinim, once again, when we get to these pits, is mibadron. If they're separate pits and they're not tied together, then you need rov. But Nisanam Becholsos, once you gather them together in one pile and you put them into a basket, is lo mevadron, they don't scatter around, and as long as you light it, then it'll all go up in flame, and we could be more mekil. Itmar Nami, and we also have a support for this, Amar Av Kahana, Kanim Shagadon Tzrichim Rov. If you tie them together, then you need a rov. So this Itmar Nami seems to support Rav Huna, who said that Agadam Tzrichim Rov. But Lo Agadam, if these different pieces of reeds and so forth and so on are not tied together, they're just scattered around, then ain't Tzrichim Rov, because they're individual reeds. And even though you didn't tie them into a bundle, what's going to happen is the fire is going to catch on this very flammable reeds. And again, the same thing with regard to Garinim Tzrichim Rov. If they're individual pits that are not collected together in a bundle, then you need a rov. But Nesana B'cholsos, ain't Tzrichim. Whoa, this doesn't support Rav Kahana. This supports Rav Chisda. Right? Let me just get the name straight, I'm sorry. Who is the second one? Yeah, Rav Chisda. So it seems like the Gemara, at the end of the day, is differentiating between Kanim on the one hand and Garinim on the other hand. When it comes to Kanim, then we're saying that Agadam, when they're bound together, then it'll take a while till the fire catches, and therefore you need Rov. You have to make sure that before Shabbos, Rov them. But in the parallel case of Garinim, is Bechulsos, which are bound together in one basket, ain't Tzrichim Rov. So it means that on the Gemara is saying that the physics of it, in the case of Garinim, is just the reverse of the physics in the case of Kanim. In Kanim, individual Kanim will just simply go up in flame. It's only when you bound them together into a bundle, that's when you need a more serious flame. In Garinim, it's just the opposite. The physics is that when you have individual Garinim, they won't go up in flame so fast. But when you put them together in one bundle, then they go up in flame very quickly. Tani Rav Yosef, Arba Meduros, if you have four different fires, and I guess they're contiguous one to the other, is Ein Tzrichim Rov. Then there's so much fire here on these four flames that each fire will feed into the other fire. And even if the wood has not yet caught, he's secure that the fire will go up. Shel Zephes, Shel Gofris, Shel Gvinov, Shel Rovov. And the Gemara says that, according to this Braisa, the same halacha of very quick flammable material that leads you to be, that allows you to be makil, applies to Zephes, which is tar, Gofris is sulfur, and other types of greases that go up in smoke immediately, like cheese grease, or revav is grease that comes from animal fats. All these types of substances will go up in smoke immediately, and we don't have to worry about rov. The Masnisa Tana, we have another brace that says Afshal Kash. The same halacha will apply to straw. Straw is also extremely flammable, and as soon as you light the straw, boom, it goes up in smoke. Vishal Gvava. Gvava is different pieces of dirt on the ground when they get kind of soft and they're very, very flammable. Omar Av Yochanan, Eitzim Shel Bavel. Now, we're not sure exactly what kind of trees he's talking about. We just know that these are Babylonian trees. And the Gemara is going to try to explain what these trees are. Ein Tzrichim Rov. They're very flammable, these woods. Maskifla, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks Akashan, Rav Yochanan, Maihi, what are you talking about, Babylonian woods? Elam, if you're talking about Silti. Silti means, just one second, when you cut up wood
slivers.
Slivers, excellent. If you cut up the wood into small slivers, then that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that you don't require rov. I don't get it, says Rabbi Yosef. That doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara is going to have to reinterpret Rabbi Yochanan. There's a kalvachomia, hashta psila. Now, psila is the wick. Now, part of the wick is submerged in the oil. And then there's the part of the wick that rises above the level of the oil. And the halacha is, Omar Ula Madlik Tzarchi Yadlik Berov Hayotze. Yotze means the part of the wick that goes above the level of the oil. And when you light this on Erev Shabbos, Ula says you need rov. You have to make sure that most of the wick, again, that part of the wick, goes up in flame. Sometimes you light a wick and only the top part of the wick catches flame. That's not enough. You need most of the wick to catch before Shabbos. And if that's true in the case of a wick, is silti mi boy, when you have these slivers of wood, how much more so? In other words, the assumption here of Rav Yosef is that these slivers of wood are no different than wicks. On the contrary, if you ask me which is more flammable and will more quickly burn, it's certainly the wicks. And yet, even in the case of wicks, Ula had this restriction, then you have to make sure that most of it goes up in flame. Is how much more so in the case of silt, though, which is even less flammable than the wicks? Surely we should require rov that most of it went up in flame before Shabbos Elomar of Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan did not mean to refer to these slivers of wood, but rather socha di arza. And arza is an erez tree, which is used in the process of taras hamitzora. In English, it's called a cedar tree. And the cedar trees were very, very popular and very, very extensively found in Babylonia. And the cedar tree has a different kind of quality. It's a kind of flammable wood. The cedar tree is very flammable. Again, we'd have to Google this and find out the physics of it. Why the wood of a cedar tree is very flammable, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that again. This is not a tree that's unique to Babylonia, but it was very popular in Babylonia. And Rabbi Bar Abba Omar Zaza, he says Rabbi Yochanan was referring to something called Zaza. Rashi says Mushla Bilaz. So we all know what Mushla is. And in the English translation, he writes here that Mushla is called Moss, M-O-S-S. And apparently it's very, very flammable. Hajun Alecha Yitzias HaShabbos. Now we're talking about the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, which means that you want to eat your meal to the light of the Shabbos candle. We're also talking about the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, which means that we prepare for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos by lighting the candles. And the Mishnah asks, B'me Madlikin u'B'me Ein Madlikin, what are the wicks and what are the oils that are qualified for use for the Ner Shabbos? And it's very interesting that the Mishnah opens up with a positive note, B'me Madlikin, but actually the subject of this Mishnah is not B'me Madlikin, but rather B'me Ein Madlikin. The Mepharshim have a long discussion why the Mishnah started with the words B'me Madlikin. Now, the underlying principle here that will apply in many different cases and many different substances is that we need wicks and oils that will carry a flame. Because if the flame starts flickering, it's not a strong substance, and it's not appropriate, then we're afraid of hatoyas haner, which means that he might lift up the receptacle so that the oil trickles down into the to the wick, and he's basically feeding the fire by adding oil to the fire, the fuel to the fire, and that would be a violation of Meleches Havara Doraisa. So, Ein Madlikin Lo Belechesh. Lechesh is something called in English bast. What happens is when you cut down a tree and you take off its bark, then before you get to the inner wood, there's a surface level of, it almost looks like cotton, that separates between the bark on the outside and the wood on the inside. And they used to use this kind of an entity called bast for wicks. They would intertwine them and make a wick out of it, but such a wick will not hold a flame properly, and therefore it's disqualified. V'lo b'chosen v'lo b'cholach. Again, we're going to have an entire Gemara here about chosen and chalach, what these are. But basically, this has to do with two kinds of substances one that grows from the ground, and that's called chosen, and it's basically raw flax. What they used to do with flax is they used to take out the fibers of the flax, and then they used to beat them, and they used to comb them, and then they would make thread out of them. But here we're talking about the real raw material of flax, and that's called chosen, and it doesn't light well. And then we have kolach, which is silk, and silk also could be made into a wick, but it doesn't catch the flame properly. V'lo b'psilas ha'idon, v'lo b'psilas ha'midbar. These are two types of fibers that are used in the process of making wicks. One comes from an arava. What do we say was an arava in English again? A willow. And the other one is some sort of a fiber that grows in these small bushes in the desert. Now, when the ship travels, then there's a certain amount of moss that collects under the bottom of the ship. And they used to take that, extract it, it was like greenish, that's what's called yeroka, and they used to make a wick out of it, but it's not, it doesn't qualify for Ner Shabbos. What other substances do not qualify? Now, at this point, the Mishnah shifts its subject matter. We're no longer talking about wicks that are disqualified. We're talking about oils that are disqualified. Lobis zephes, they used to make an oil kind of flammable fuel out of tar. Velobis shava, out of wax. And a lot of the poskim are concerned about our wax candles because here it says lobis shava, but we'll get to that later. Velobis shemen kick. V'lobis shemen sreifa. The Gemara is going to have a whole to do about what kick is. What does the word kick mean? Okay, they translate it as castor oil. It's not castor oil, not in the Mishnah, anyway. V'lobis shemen sreifa. Shemen sreifa is shemen of truma, and the oil that came out of olives of truma has kedushas truma, and if it's contaminated, then the mitzvah is to burn it. And the Gemara is going to tell us that while he's burning the Shemen Sreifa as a Ner Shabbos, he might be tempted to speed up this mitzvah and violate Shabbos. Velovi Alia. Alia is the fat that comes from the tail of a sheep. And Lobe Chelev. Chelev is a certain part of the fats, the inner fats of an animal. All these are fuels that will not catch well and don't have a steady flame, and therefore they're disqualified for Ner Shabbos. Nochem Amadi Omer Madlikim Bechelev Mevushal. If we take the natural state of chelev, these oil, these fats, and we cook them and solidify them, and then we use them as oil, as fuel, it's kosher. It will now catch the flame, it will now feed the flame very well. So he takes this chelev and he cooks it. Chachamim omrim, echad mevushach, sheinu mevushay madlikim bo, chelev is completely excluded whether you cook it or you take it in its raw state. The Gemara now wants to identify these substances that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Lechesh, what is lechesh? Oh, we know what lechesh is. It's shocha di arza. Oh, now we know what lechesh is. Just kidding. But arza, we said, was a cedar tree, a erez tree, and now he takes the bark of the cedar tree. Now, we said before, if you recall, that the word lechesh indicates cedar bast, which means not exactly the bark of the tree. That might be kosher, I don't know. But the bast, which is that mushy substance below the bark of the tree. So that's why the Gemara immediately objects. Shocha diara eitz bi'almahu. I mean, why would you disqualify a piece of wood as a wick? And perhaps what the Gemara means is that wood is not going to be able to serve as a wick. Wood will just simply burn up. It may take a minute or two, but it's not going to hold the flame. A wick has to hold the flame, not just burn up. And therefore, we have to reinterpret lechesh. And the Gemara answers, "Bi armanisa de islbe." Now, armanisa is wool in Aramaic, tsemer. And the substance that I described to you, which is below the surface level of the bark of the tree, which I called cotton, the Gemara identifies it as wool. And that's something which could serve as a wick, but the Mishnah disqualifies it. Lo b'chosen, Amar Rav Yosef, Ni'ores shel pishtan. Ni'ores means these are the fibers of flax. And again, they don't catch well. They don't hold the flame well. Amalei Abaye Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi that differentiates between Chosen and Ni'ores. Vaksiv Aya Choson Lini'ores. Chosen means the those who are powerful become Ni'ores. They go up in smoke. Michlal de Chosen Lav Ni'ores. Obviously, Chosen and Ni'ores are two separate entities. How can you identify the Chosen and our Mishnah as Ni'ores? Elomar Abaye, Kisna Didayik Velo Nopitz. The flax that already has been beaten, so we're up to stage number two, but we haven't yet gotten to stage number three, which is called Nopitz. Menapitz, one of the 39 Melachos. That's called beating. I'm sorry, that's called combing, because after they beat the fibers of the flax, then they start combing it to get rid of little pieces. V'lo b'bir kolach, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, what's kolach? Shal sinu l'chol nachosi, nachose yama, those are the sailors. So when I met the sailors, I asked them, what exactly is kolach? Because I guess the sailors were experts on different types of wicks that could be, you know, keep up the flame. And I asked them exactly what kolach is, and they told me kulcha shmei. Okay, that doesn't tell us much. It's called kulcha. Okay, so what's kulcha? So again, we're talking about some sort of moss. And that's called kelach.
It's a cocoon of a silkworm.
Oh, okay, good. Cocoon on the silkworm. Rav Yitzchak Bar Zeiri Omar Gushkira. Okay, it's some sort of silky substance. Ravin Vabai Aviyasve Kami de Ravina de Rabbana Nachemya Achui de Reshkalusa. And again, I'm not going to go through this because we're pressed for time, all the names. Anyway, Chazi Davi Lovish Mitaksa. He was wearing a very fancy garment. And that doesn't seem to be proper for a rabbi to be so fancy. Apparently, it was made of silk. You know, it's like those smoking jackets, you know what I mean? And that's not indicative of anava, of a proper, humble kind of appearance. Amalei Ravin Labai, so Ravin says, Vai Hainu Kolach Disnan. That's the Kolach of our Mishnah, that's silk. And that seems to support what we saw in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Zeira Gushkira. Amalei Anan Shira Pranda Karinale. So Abai tells him in our area, we have a different name for it. We call it Paranda. Now, Paranda seems to be a word in a foreign language that refers to silk. Mesve, the Gemara asks the Kashma of Brais Hashirayim, Ve'akelech, Ve'asrikin, Chayovim B'tzitzis. These are various materials that make a garment, and you have to put tzitzis on the garment. And we have here Kolach, and we have here something called Shirayim. Now, Shirayim is silk. So how can you tell me that Kolach is silk when in the Mishnah, Kolach and Shirayim are listed separately, so Kolach is not silk. So Gemara says, Tuvta, the Ravin Tuvta. Gemara doesn't have an answer. This Ibai Seim, the Gemara has a possible answer. Shira Lechud, Veshira Paranda Lechud. I guess Shira is your classic kind of silk. And then it's another silk which is called Paranda silk. Maybe it's a more expensive and rare kind of silk. And that's why it's mentioned separately in this brisa. Below it, psilas ha'idon achvina. Achvina, we said, if you recall, was an arava, and we finally got it straight. It's a willow branch, and that's not good. But again, we're talking about psilas ha'idon. We mean he took the willow, and apparently on the tree itself, he removes the bark of the willow, and again, he removes that kind of tsemer, which is called in English bast, B-A-S-T, that's underneath the bark of the tree. And that's possible and disqualified for Ner Shabbos. Ravin v'abai havika azli bepakta detamru risa. Okay, that's some sort of a valley. And they were walking there, and chazina lahanu arvasa, and they saw these arava trees. Amalei Ravin Labaye Hainu Idon Disnan. That's the Psilas Haidon that's mentioned at Mishnah. These are the willow trees which are apostle for wicks for Ner Shabbos. Amalei Hahi Eitz Bi'almahu. Why are you looking at this tree? We don't use trees for wicks. I don't need a Mishnah for that. So he says, Kolaf, he started peeling off some of the bark of the tree. The Achvile, he pointed to Armanisa, this kind of wool, the Beni Beni, that was between the outer substance, the bark of the tree, and the inner tree. Velo Psilas Amidbar Shavra. Okay, this is called in English a grass, nettle grass. And this is tall grass that apparently if you cut it down, you could braid it together and use it for wicks. Velobiroka, and then we have this green kind of moss that's underneath the ships. Maihi, the Gemara says, Ilema uchamta decharitzi, if it's the dark greenish algae that grows on the surface of trenches of standing water, he says, ifruche mefarchan. It certainly crumbles. You can't even make it into a wick. El Omer of Papa, uchamta di arva. This is the dark greenish moss that grows on the underside of a boat, and it's a little bit more sturdy, and it can be made into wicks, but nevertheless, it doesn't hold a flame well, and therefore it's disqualified. Tanu, we learned in a brisa, Hosifu aleim shel tsemer v'shel seyar. Adding to the list in the Mishnah of psulim, of disqualified substances for wicks, we add wool and hair. These are different kinds of substances that just go up in smoke immediately. They cannot hold a flame. V'tana idon, didon, and awitana didn't even bother mentioning them because tsemer michvatz covets. It just curls up. It doesn't even burn. And seyar ichruche michrach. You know, you get a kind of a burning kind of thing. It doesn't hold a flame at all. It doesn't even have to be mentioned. Lo bezefes, but if we use zefes, and the Gemara identifies zefes as zifta, it's a kind. Oh, he calls it pitch here. I know it is tar. Anyway, he says shava kirusa. Okay, that's called wax. Tana. We learned in a brisa, and we'll just finish this up. Adkan psul psilos. And this part of the Mishnah disqualifies wicks. Mikan v'elach, the second part of the Mishnah, psul shmonim, disqualifies various kinds of fuel. Pshita. I mean, obviously we know that these last cases that we spoke about in the Mishnah were oils. Why did you have to point this out? Shava itzrichle. He says the chiddush here is wax. Because mal detema, you might think that wax is excluded for a candle. No, kamashma, it's only excluded as a wick. Let me just make sure I didn't mislead you here. Just 1 second. Mal detema lipsilos nami lo chazia. Ah, just 1 second. Just give me a second. I'm sorry. I need 1 second, and then the floor is yours. I would have thought in my havamina mal detema that this wax is not suitable to work as candles. He writes in the footnote, it was customary to make candles of wax molded around long wicks. Okay, that's what we have. And one might think that these were excluded for Ner Shabbos, Kamash Balan. This teaches us that wax is only disqualified when it is placed in the Ner as oil or fuel. So I guess they used wax as fuel. But if we use wax just to hold the candle, so he's got wax that is surrounding a wick, that would be kosher. So we're up to Omar Rami Bar Oven, and then we're going to talk about Dvash. And that Willi Neder will pick up tomorrow. And I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a Chodesh Tov. And I have 5 minutes for questions if anybody wants to ask. I know that, Yaakov, you had something to ask. Please ask your question.